many times. And so when you hear me read the scripture, if you've heard me preach this before, don't turn me off. Because as any minister continues to study, he will go back and preach a passage of scripture more than one time, but it's with a deeper understanding. And I want to preach it in a way that's entirely different than I've ever understood it before. The book of Luke, chapter 9, I'll begin reading with verse 23, and Jesus is the one speaking here. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for your presence in this place. We'd ask you, Lord, as the word goes forth, that there might be a moving and a stirring of your Holy Spirit, that you might stir each of our hearts to take a step closer to you. Father, I ask you that you would anoint my lips, that my speech might be clear into the ears of your people, and that you would anoint the people's ears here in the worship room and across the online experience, Lord, that they might hear in a way that they've not heard before, and that it might motivate all of us to take another step closer to you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you as well that you'd bless this offering that we receive today over the course of the day, the families that give, the individuals that support us. Lord, return it back upon them according to your word. We pray it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Jesus makes this statement, and when you begin to press into it to try to understand it, it's contrary to the human desire. Because he's pulling us all out of our infant stage as Christians, and he's pulling us into a deeper walk with him. Now, he begins by saying, as a matter of fact, the backdrop for this episode is Jesus is talking to his 12 disciples, and there are people standing around as well, but he's basically talking to the 12. But then in the midst of his teaching, in the midst of his speech to the 12, he lifts up his voice a little higher, and it stretches across everyone who was in the sound of his voice, because it says, he said unto them all, not just the 12, all that were there. And in fact, the way we should understand it is that it's not just that those that were there 2,000 years ago, but to every member of the body of Christ across the 2,000-year church age, he says to us all that if any man will come after him, he lays out three requirements. Let him first deny himself. Let him take up his cross, not every now and again, every day, and let him follow me. Now, when we look at these, he's not expecting us to one day just say, okay, I'm going to deny myself. Let me take up the cross. Let me follow after Jesus, because that's not how it works. He has established a progression for us. We grow in this, not over the days, not over the weeks, but over the years. The first thing we have to be willing to do is we have to be willing to deny ourselves. Now, he's not really saying yourself or myself or himself or herself. Just drop the prefix. He's saying deny self. How many know what self is? Have you ever run into self? The biggest devil working against you in your life is self. It's a demon. You see, when God created Adam, he created Adam in a state of total God consciousness. He was so conscious of God, he was hardly unaware of himself. He didn't even know he was naked. But after the fall, that God consciousness was turned into self-consciousness. And we live now in a society that we're so conscious of ourselves, we can hardly see our fellow man. We have a $1 billion industry now. When God created you, he was born, he gave you a unique face. Unique from anyone else for the most part on the planet, unless you're an identical twin or something like that. But because of our focus on faith, we've created this billion-dollar cosmetic industry, and we paint another face on top of the face that God gave us. We spend so much money on haircuts and weaves and all of this, especially for the brothers, that the line has to be absolutely perfect. It's only going to be that way for one day because your hair keeps going. But we're so focused on self. And it's a problem in our society is that we see ourselves. We hardly see God. We don't see our fellow man. Self has taken the stage. And so Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, the first thing you have to do is you have to deal with that problem of self. Deny yourself. And then once you just make up your mind, okay, I'm going to do it, and you begin to walk in that a little bit, he goes, okay, and now that you've made up your mind, you're going to deny yourself, now take up the cross. Understand, the cross is an instrument of death. Jesus went before us and he took the brutality of the physical cross and died a physical death. But he calls on each one of us to take up our individual cross and to crucify self on the cross in a spiritual sense, and to do so every single day. And here's something all of us will unsay. How many's ever had a thought that rolled in your mind and it almost went out your mouth and it wasn't God? Have you ever experienced that? But you caught it and you pulled it back. That's how you deny self, and that's how you kill self out on the cross. Instead of just blurting it out, you know it's wrong, you crucify it, you kill it, you put an end to it. And so Jesus, this progression then is first make up your mind, you'll deny yourself, then take up the cross every single day, and now you're prepared to actually walk, to follow after Jesus Christ. Now, there is a vast difference between a Christian and a disciple. They are not the same. They are not the same. A Christian, a legitimate Christian who has been born again, who has come to Jesus, saved by grace through faith, has confessed with their mouth, believed in their heart upon Jesus Christ legitimately, and been born again, they are on their way to heaven. No doubt about it. They are saved. They're on their way to heaven. But every Christian is not a disciple. Every Christian is not a disciple. A disciple is one who walks in the daily discipline of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple of comparisons between a believer and a disciple. A believer has faith in Christ for salvation legitimately. They're on their way to heaven. They are saved. A disciple actually follows Jesus in obedience. Are you with me? A believer is saved by grace through faith, but a disciple submits his whole life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. A believer may or may not grow spiritually, but a disciple is actively maturing in the faith. So whenever we all get to heaven, there will be, I think, probably the majority of Christians that arrive in heaven will still be spiritual babes. They're saved, legitimately saved, but they arrive still as spiritual babes because they've never brought themselves into the discipline of Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? You deny yourself, make up your mind, you take up the cross, and you follow him. You see, there are still cussing Christians. Have you ever known a cussing Christian? Now, no doubt when we first got saved, all of us was probably for at least a day or two, maybe a week or several months, was a cussing Christian because you had sanctification hadn't worked in you yet. I was a sailor. I was in the Navy. You ever heard of a cussing sailor? And so when I got saved, I had to learn that. No, I didn't know it was wrong. That's just the way we talked. And I had to learn there's certain words that you don't say. And then I had to learn there's also that same set of words you don't even let yourself think them. And so there comes a time that all of us have to make this decision. Am I satisfied as a Christian? or do I want to mature as a disciple? Now, I want to talk about each of these three steps. And again, it's a progression. You first make up your mind, I'm willing to deny myself. You then start taking up the cross and applying Jesus's commandments to your life. You begin to address the problem of self, crucify self, put self to death. And then once you've begin to move in that, now you can walk after Jesus Christ. You can't take up the cross if you never decided to deny yourself. It's impossible. And you can't follow Jesus in terms of maturity unless you are willing to walk under the burden of the cross. So let's talk about denying ourselves. The word deny just means to reject, to renounce, to refuse. And so he's saying, deny yourself, but we've already talked about, drop the prefix because it's confusing, yourself. Deny self. That inward attention on yourself, that every human being struggles with this. Some just don't know they struggle. Because the problem in our marriages is two selves in that marriage. Two people that oftentimes will look inwardly rather than loving their spouse more than themselves, and it causes problems. As a matter of fact, self is the issue there throughout this congregation and the online experience. There are a trail of broken marriages. If you boil that down and go back to the root of how did that marriage fall apart, you're going to find self right at the root of it. Some of us have broken careers, broken friendships. Self is always the issue. And so the first thing we have to do is reject, renounce, refuse self. Realize, identify who the culprit is. You see, we oftentimes say, well, the devil. No, it's not the devil, it's self. The devil did his work in the garden. You're on remote control now. And so we have, through the Holy Spirit, the ability to address the core problem in our life, which is always, it's me. How many's ever suffered with an addiction in your life? Okay, I'll confess mine first. I have. 7 years, crack cocaine addict. Hey, is that a, okay, I know there's more of us in here than just me and Brother Hill. But when you go back, you know who got you addicted? The Satan didn't come by your house and do you like Eve. It was self. It was self that did that. And so then the first thing we have to do is to deny ourselves. Now, here's what Paul said in Corinthians. This goes a long way to where we have to do the denial at, because your body is not the primary problem, although your body can be a problem. It's not the primary problem. The biggest problem is the way you think. You're not going to go commit adultery till you first think adultery. You're not going to go get high, get drunk, get whatever until you think it first. So the root of the issue is the way that we allow ourselves to think. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he says, casting down imaginations. How many's got a vivid imagination? I don't know if I want to ask the next question or not. Don't raise your hand. How many of you ever struggled with a vivid sexual imagination? Don't raise your hand. Mine's not up either. But the problem is up here. This is where we lose the battle. Before your body's ever engaged, you lose the battle up here. And so Paul says, cast down those imaginations. It means your thought life. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now notice what he just said. Casting down not just your imaginations, but everything that exalts self against what you know the knowledge of God, against what you know is right. So there are things that we can allow to roll through our mind. We know, man, this is not of God, what's going on in my mind. Paul says, you and I have the ability to cast that down, to push it out. You push it out of your mind. And listen, I'm a human being just like everybody else in here. It comes right back. Have you ever noticed? When you push something out of your mind, it comes right back. Well, what do? Push it out again. And push it out for the next hour or whatever that it takes. And then suddenly you realize it doesn't come back that day. So you're good for that day. A daily victory is a good victory. When you got to fight for it every day, that's a good victory. But the problem is that if you're satisfied with just being a Christian, you may not even be fighting. You may just be saying, well, this is just the way that it is. But the role that you and I have as Christians is to mature into Christ-likeness. And he was tempted into all points like unto a man, yet without sin. That's where we're pushing to. And so then it becomes important to deny self. Cast down those imaginations. Every high thing that exalts self above the knowledge of God, that is your enemy, and it's got to be pulled down. So once you make up your mind and say, okay, that's it. I'm done being just a Christian. I want to advance into discipleship. I've made up my mind. I'm going to begin to challenge myself. So the next thing then you have to do is to take up the cross. And the Holy Spirit was careful to tell Luke, inspire Luke to say, take it up daily, every day. It's quiet in here, but I'm just going to keep preaching this because I know it's hitting. I'm hitting pay dirt. How many ever had just a bad day? Just failed God, just a bad day. Come on, just be honest. It was not a good day. Here's what the Bible said. The mercies of God are renewed each day. You get up the next morning, you check, put up your chin, stick out your chest, and you just keep walking with God. You don't let a failure one day cause you to continue to stumble the next day. So every day you take up the cross, just because you were a failure yesterday does not mean you make no attempt today. Get up and fight that devil again. Get up and resist that flesh again. Now, taking up the cross is Paul used this term on purpose. In those days, Roman crucifixions was the means of public execution. When the state was going to execute you, they hanged you on a tree publicly. And it worked for Rome. They were a nation over 1,000 years. Because whenever you walked into the city, the first thing you saw was all the people on the cross over here who had violated the law in a grand way. And that made you think, this is not the city to mess up in. We could use that today, couldn't we? Somebody said, no, not today. But it was a means of public execution. And so when Jesus was executed, they took him first to the whipping pole, put 39 lashes on his back, and then they nailed him to a cross. The cross, as I said earlier, it is an instrument of death. It has one purpose. It does one thing. It kills its victim. And Jesus is telling you and I, in the spiritual sense, take up your cross every day and let its deadening effect take effect on the self that you and I are every day. You want to snap at your wife? Snap at your husband? Put that snap on the cross. And learn how. And it's not easy. I can remember any number of times. It's been a while ago, back in the day. And, you know, me and Sister Lincoln, we were having an argument. And I would get and go in my car and I would just go for a ride. Let me just cool down because I'm warm right now. And the whole time you're driving in the car, you're continuing the argument with yourself. And you're winning because she's not there. How many's ever done that? But that right there is what you put on the cross. Instead of winning the argument, You approach God and say, God, how can I make this better? How can I be the glue that holds this relationship together? What can I do different that this doesn't happen? We stop trying to blame it on the other person and we take the hit ourselves. That's what it's going to be. If you're going to ever be sanctified, walk in sanctification, you're going to realize that God ain't fixing the other person on your behalf. He going to fix you every single time. I have gone to the Lord 1,000 times about my wife. It's been 40-some years. God has never changed her once. It's always me. But you know what? Through the years, I'm more mature. I'm stronger. I'm more disciplined. I can control my mouth. I can control my whole heart. Through the years of constant failures and crawling back up on God and saying, I need help. I need more help. Through the years, he's made me more Christ-like. Now, I still got a long way to go. I will admit that. But so do you. So he's saying then, first make up your mind that you even want to deny yourself. Now begin to take up your cross and actually put the problem, which is self, put it to death. See, many times the Christian, and this, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with being a Christian. Of course we want to be a Christian. But oftentimes the Christian will satisfy himself saying, well, Jesus died for me. Yes, he did. Thank God he died for all of us. But now I need to die for him. Now I need, he was crucified for me. Now I need to be crucified with him. See, his death, I'm in union with him on his death on the cross. I'm in union with that death. Now I need to let it have its impact upon the self that I am and begin to kill me out too. Paul would say this. Look at what Paul said. He gave a list of the challenges that he went through that will blow your mind. He said, man, I've been shipwrecked. I've been a wild beast were after me. The men were after me. I had enemies on the left and enemies on the right. But here's what he said. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Praise God. He didn't just say, Jesus died for me. He said, no, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, physically, I still live, but it's not I. The word in that passage, the I, is ego. The ego has been crucified. The ego is what you are internally, how you see yourself. It's been crucified. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Praise God. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I'm living it by the faith of the Son of God. He gave his life for me. Now I'm letting him live his life through my mortal body. This now is a disciple. This is one who has embraced the cross. Now, once you've done this, deny yourself. You're taking up the cross daily. Now you're able to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. See, if you're not willing to deny yourself, you can't follow him. Look at Peter. Peter undeniably loved the Lord. You cannot refute that. When they came to arrest Jesus in against odds that Peter knew that he was going to die, he pulled a sword, and he didn't go at the little guy. He went to the servant of the high priest and tried to cut his whole head off. And the man moved and he just cut his ear off, cut his slap off his head, fell in the dirt. And Jesus said, Peter, so I put up that sword. He picked the man's ear off, blew the dirt off of it, and stuck it back on his head and healed him. But Peter, as much as he loved the Lord, when he watched Jesus go to the whipping pole and they laid 39 stripes on his back, when they saw him begin to march him off to take him to the place of execution to nail him to a cross, the little maiden lady said, you're one of them. You was with Jesus. He said, I don't even know who he is. That lets you know something. Self does not want to die. It's not going to be an easy road. Self wants to live. This is why whenever I see somebody do this, and I'm not beating anybody up, they get an attitude and the neck starts popping both ways. That's self. That's self. That is not Jesus Christ. That is the ego. It's what the person really is on the inside. They're expressing themselves. That has to be crucified and hanged on a tree. As a matter of fact, anything that you see or you learn from this modern culture is self. None of it is Jesus Christ. And if you're picking up the attributes and the ways of the world, you are not being conformed to Christ. You're being conformed to the world. It's quiet in here. Amen, lights. Praise the Lord. Listen, all of us have the same problem. We're selves. We all are self-centered, selfish. All of us are. And it's the cross, it's the taking of the cross that slowly diminishes and crucifies self. So that one day we can, as Paul says, it's no more I. I put him to death. It's all Christ now. That's what all of us should be pulling for. And then having denied ourselves, having day after day, week after week, month after month, taking up our personal cross, applying it to self, dying daily. And then Paul said that, I die daily. Now we're ready to follow Jesus. Now it would seem like, well, man, how can we just follow him? Nope. And when you realize what it takes to follow him, you realize there's no way you can follow him if you're not willing to deny yourself and take up the cross. It's an impossibility. I'm reminded of the same Peter. After he denied the Lord three times, he went out and he wept bitterly and he realized I've overestimated myself. I wasn't able to pull off what I thought I could. And then 3 days later, Jesus is resurrected from the grave. And he says this to him in the book of John, verse 21. Jesus is speaking specifically to Peter. They're having a conversation with one another. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, meaning when you were immature, thou girdest thyself and thou walkest whither thou wouldest. It means I wore what I wanted to wear and I went where I wanted to go. Boy, this is going to sting a little bit. Some Christians still wear what they want to wear and still go where they want to go. Okay, I'm not making it plain enough. At no time should we be dressed in public with our butts out. At no time. It's unacceptable for a Christian. You don't need to have a bracelet on saying, what would Jesus do? You ought to common sense tell you Jesus wouldn't do that. I don't care whether you say amen or not. At no time should we be going to certain places. No Christian should ever be in a club just to drop somebody off. You shouldn't be there. No Christian should ever be in certain places because it's contrary to Christ. And so here's what Jesus is telling Peter. He said, when you was young, when you were an immature baby in Christ, you wore what you wanted to wear and you went where you wanted to go. But when thou shalt be old, meaning that when you mature as a Christian, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands. That means surrender. And another shall gird you and carry you where you wouldest not. Meaning that as we mature in this, the Holy Spirit then begins to dictate what we wear and how we present ourselves. And he also begins to dictate where you go. And I'm here as my personal testimony is such, Jesus will tell you exactly what he wants. He doesn't care how you feel about it. He'll step right into the middle of that relationship that you had goo-goo eyes over and tell you, that's not me. I don't want that. Yeah, he'll tell you, let them go. Kick them to the curb. Throw them out. He did it to me. That's why I know. And it's not just relationships. He'll tell you whole lifestyles. That's not the lifestyle I want you in. I want you in a different lifestyle. Christianity is a unique lifestyle unlike any other lifestyle that there is. See, when we come in out of the world, we're used to running so hard. We're running from here to running from there to running from here. I want to go here. I want to do. In real Christianity, I can sit at the house for 2 days. As long as I got my Bible and I'm able to do some searches on my computer, man, I'm happy. As a matter of fact, when it was cold just a moment ago, I wrote whole chapters in the book I'm working on. I'm cool. But there's some of us, although Christian, legitimately Christian, we can't control ourselves. We're moving so fast, we just don't have time for God. Is that too hard? Am I being too hard today? He goes on to say, you'll stretch forth your hands, and the other shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Now, let's back up from the scripture and let's take the whole view of what has happened. Peter was there when Jesus was arrested. They saw the way that they handled him. No doubt he saw Jesus on the whipping pole as he cried out from the lashes. He was perhaps in eye view when he saw, when Jesus was nailed to the cross and he, after several hours, bowed his head and gave up the spirit, meaning that he died. Peter was an eyewitness. He saw it. He saw it all. And then Jesus comes back 3 days later and said, Peter, did you see what happened to me? Okay, now follow me. Now follow me. This is not in the scripture, but tradition says that Peter was ultimately crucified because he followed after Jesus. He followed him. Do you understand what I'm saying today? And at the point that of his crucifixion, this is tradition, Peter said, I am not worthy to be crucified as my Lord. Crucify me upside down. And that's how he died. And you and I, we don't have to endure a physical crucifixion, thank God. But there is a self that is such a problem to us. See, it's very deceiving. Church deceives us on this because we can come in for 1 hour and we can disguise self. For 1 hour, it's not that hard. You just come in, don't say anything harsh, just smile at everybody. And nobody knows what self really is. But each one of us has seen self in its darkest moments. We know what we are. It's not pretty. And that's what Jesus is saying. Put that on the cross. And then you follow after me. When Jesus called Matthew was sitting at the receipt of customs. It means that Matthew was a Jewish man. He worked for Rome, and he had a table in front of him where he collected taxes from the people. And the way it was set up, they were able to collect as much as you want. Rome didn't care. Long as you collected the part that went to Rome, get whatever else you want for yourself. They were publicans. And so Jesus walks by. There's a table there. There's money on the table. No doubt bags of money under the table. And Jesus simply says, follow me. And the scripture specifically says, Matthew got up and he left all. He left all. He left the table, the money, his workers there. He left them all and he walked after Jesus Christ. The very fact that he left all shows that he denied himself. It showed that he had to bring self into control. How many know self likes money? Because money serves self. If I have money and self is cold, I can just turn up the heat because money can pay the bill. Or whatever that I want. If I'm hungry and I have money, I can just go buy food so self can have food. But when you deny everything, when you deny it all and follow after him, that means you have moved from being just a Christian, which there's nothing wrong with being a Christian. We want to be Christians. But you have moved to the category now of disciple, one who is actively maturing in the things of God. How many understood what we're preaching today? Are you with me? Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you today, Lord. This message that you've given me, Lord, is, I pray, not falling on deaf ears. And I pray as well, God, that you would use it as a conviction upon all of our hearts, myself included. Begin with me. Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. That you would help us to make a greater commitment to deny the true problem in our life, which is self. And to take up your cross and to make a spiritual effort to follow you. No more allowing the things of the world to distract us, to gather our attention, to sap our strength. But Lord, that we might walk in your discipline. Come on, all over the room. If you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet all over the room? I don't know what your life is. I don't know what your uprisings, your downfallings are. But right now, why don't you just take a moment to be honest with the Lord? Just you and him. Just begin to tell him, Lord, I've been too satisfied where I'm at. Things that I do that are not right, and I know they're not right. I ask you now, Lord, that you would convict my heart to cast down those imaginations. I ask you, Lord, that you would give me strength to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Lord, to deny myself and to take up the cross every single day, regardless of the prior day might have brought. Help me to take up my cross and help me to follow after you. Come on, just reach out to the Lord wherever you're at today. Just reach out to the Lord. He loves you. He loves you.
Heavenly Father, I pray that we will just seek after you, God, and ask you, Father, to show us, that we can see what we're doing that is pushing us away from you because we're not denying ourselves. So, Father God, show us what we need to see. Thank you for your word that shows us how to live life and live life abundantly with you, Jesus. Let us take up our cross, and it's not just one day, God, that we may do good and then we skip the next day. It's a daily thing. Help us, Father God. I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming out this morning. Hope you enjoyed the service. If you haven't had a chance to give, we ask that you would please do so and help us. We need your help in furthering the kingdom of God. If you need a food basket, we have food baskets available. If you know a friend or a loved one that needs a basket, you can get one for them. See Sister Boyd if you need one. And this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, our Bible class resumes, and we will be in the book of 2 Corinthians. We'd love to see you come out. Have a good rest of the day, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday. You're dismissed.